Welcome to Show Up 2020. I'm your host, John Narrell. First and foremost, I want to wish you and your loved ones happy holidays. Whatever you decide to do this holiday season, most importantly, I hope you enjoy time with your family and loved ones, but also stay safe. Now, throughout this podcast series, we have talked to so many people who have shared what it has meant for them to show up. And for many small business owners, this year has been particularly difficult. So we know that this year began with a lot of hopes and dreams for everybody, especially small business owners, and many of their businesses have been shuttered or sidelined because of the pandemic. Now, my guest today is a coach colleague and friend. She's someone I met through my coach training and someone whom over the last few years I have seen grow, stretch, serve, and learn. She knows what it means to show up. Alison Loftus is an experienced life and leadership coach with a demonstrated history of working in the education management industry. She is the owner and president of Leading Lady Coaching, as well as the owner of Bright Beginning Children's Learning Center. Alison's many superpowers include creating communities where people support, champion, and professionally challenge each other to achieve success and authentically lead as their best selves. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Alison Loftus. Alison, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me today, John.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you here. And as I shared in the intro, it's kind of hard to believe you and I, 4 years ago, met through coach training.
Right?
Absolutely crazy. And crazy kind of seems to be, I think, a fair enough word for us to describe what 2020 has been in this epic year. Oh, if you had to pick one word to describe 2020, what would it be?
Oh, I don't think I'm allowed to say that on your show. Don't forget, I'm a lady.
Yes, it's so true. But sometimes, you know, we have those thoughts, right?
And
It has been an epic year, though, hasn't it?
It really has. You know, in all honesty, though, as crazy as 2020 has been, you know, not to be totally cliche, but I've had a lot of blessings too.
Yep.
It has forced me to slow down and to really evaluate what's in life, what's in my life, how I'm living. And so a lot of blessings as well in all the craziness.
In all of the craziness, absolutely. It's important for us to take those moments of gratitude and just kind of pause and recognize the things that, you know, in a lot of ways, 2020 has given us, right? Amidst all of the heartache and the stress and everything. And for us to get started here a little bit today, I think it's important for us to acknowledge 2020 has been a difficult year for you professionally, because aside from your coaching practice, there is a completely different side in business owner about you. And I'd love for you to share with the listeners today a little bit more about what that journey has been like for you.
Yeah. Are you talking about motherhood or the preschools?
Oh, we'll get to motherhood. No problem. But definitely the preschool stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I have owned private preschool childcare centers in Maryland for almost 17 years. And this year was definitely a year where we really didn't know what was happening. So we got the order middle of March that we were mandated to close. And I'm privately funded, I'm a for-profit. And so we weren't really expecting the government to control our business, but we got the mandate that we had to close. However, they gave us 24 hours to apply to be an essential personnel site, which meant that we would meet certain criteria to be able to continue to offer care for essential personnel workers. So we did, we got the application in 24 hours and we're able to stay open. And we thought, yes, we did it. We don't have to close our doors. Then we got the notification that we couldn't charge for our services. So we were basically operating for about 8 weeks without pay. We weren't allowed to charge the families. We weren't, we had to submit paperwork to be reimbursed. And that reimbursement came much, much, much later than after the services were provided. So for about 3 months, we were operating at double the expenses because of having to buy PPE, you know, all the cleaning supplies, everything that we needed to do, thermometers, protective gear, all of these things that we needed to do to stay open and not, and having absolutely zero income coming in. So I did see a lot of my colleagues that own other centers have to close their doors permanently. It was really scary. Many of my staff did not feel safe. So I lost a lot of staff during that time. And the state finally did get it together, get us reimbursed. And then when things started opening back up, we were at reduced capacity. And we've just been plugging along. And knock on wood, we haven't had any positive cases in any of our children or any of our teachers. So, and we're still going.
Well, and the thing, and you are one of more than a handful of people whom I have had on the podcast this year that have an education background. Mm-hmm. Right. Back in the late spring and the summer, I had just invited different educators and educational leaders that were on. And not only all of you, but a common theme across all of the guests are you are heart-centered leaders and professionals. You care deeply about the people you serve, the people you work with, the people you have on staff. And if there's one lesson in 2020, it's that doubling down on how you care about people is easy and hard all in the same breath.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And so you've got two businesses that are going. We're going to talk about Leading Ladies in a moment. But in terms of motherhood, that alone had to be a different lift, especially with having two teenagers at home too, right?
Yes. So my teenagers, they went virtual again, mid-March, and my daughter was a sophomore, so it's her second year of high school, and things started getting canceled. She was taking it a little hard. I think what she took the hardest was she was supposed to get her driver's license, and the MBA was closed. You know, all of these like rite of passages, and I felt like they were taking it in stride. And probably around May, the end of May, things just really started to fall apart when they realized that they were not going back to school, that summer was looking very different, that they hadn't seen their friends in weeks. They were pretty sick of each other and sick of my husband and I. We were all like kind of done at that point. And the COVID semester, that's what they were calling it, their school was calling it, it was hard. And my children are pretty extroverted. They really count on their friends, and they're active people. My daughter was supposed to sail in this all women's regatta in New York City in the spring, and she didn't get to do that. And so just a lot of grief, a lot of mourning. And here my husband and I are, we're trying to keep our businesses afloat. We're trying to, you know, apply for the PPP loans and manage unemployment and take care of all of our staff. And we have virtual learning for our kids. And we were just all stretched very thin, very, very thin. So that was tough.
Yeah. And so the stories like yours and from others that have come out of 2020, we hear things about heartache. We hear things about loss. We know there are people out there that because of either the industry where they've worked or they have been furloughed, laid off, or unemployed, the food insecurities and things. And yet everybody travels this year in their own set of shoes. Mm-hmm. I had a neighbor growing up. My family had gone through some like all families do, right? Some stress and heartache and troubles and stuff like that. And I remember talking with my next door neighbor, and she said to me, you know, if you think of your problems like shoes, and everybody in the world took their shoes and threw them into a corner, and you could pick whatever pair of shoes you wanted, you would always pick your own because they were the most comfortable, because right. That's what you know, right? Mm-hmm. And so out of 2020, we're hearing these stories about resilience and positivity, but I don't want to over-saccharinize resilience and positivity either, because right. There has been so much heartache and stress. So
we have to leave room for grief.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so in that grief, in that tremendous sense of loss and all the things that we've missed this year, what's been the takeaway for you about finding these lessons about being resilient and positive?
Well, and to touch a little bit on grief, something I heard kind of at the beginning of the pandemic is everyone kept saying, hey, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. And we're not all in the same boat. We're all in different boats, weathering the same storm, the storm being this pandemic, but we're all in different boats. And sometimes different boats on different days. Sometimes you're on this yacht, and at the beginning, I was living my best COVID life. I'm an introvert, and I got to work from home and not have to go anywhere, not have to, I don't know, put on pants, wash my hair. Like I was living my best COVID life. And then some days you're like in a little rowboat that's got a hole, mm-hmm. you know? And I definitely felt those days too. But I think, you know, thinking about resilience, it was, I want to say it was the community. The families really came together to show their support. They were donating supplies. They were donating money. They were doing everything that they could to help the preschool, knowing that we couldn't charge tuition during that time. The teachers were coming together and really looking out for one another and being a safe place for the children and the families. Many of the children had never even seen the inside of our building before. And now, because they were essential personnel, their parents couldn't even walk them in. So their parents were standing outside this building, handing their child over to a teacher who's in a mask and in all of this gear. And the teachers handled that with such grace and such love, and kind of put their own fears aside so that they could be there for the children and the families and the community. And so I think, for me, resilience came from community, came from, yes, the social distancing. It was physical distancing, but I've started to feel closer to people than I've ever felt.
Ah, so nice. And community is such a big part of what Leading Ladies is all about too. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what it means to be a leading lady and your coaching business.
Oh, that's a loaded question. So, to be a leading lady is to be unapologetic as to who you are, to really show up with authenticity and to be in charge of your own life, to be a leader of your life, to live at the cause of your life, not the effect. And so I have this Facebook community. It's about 5,400 women, leading ladies, and they did just that. They just showed up and looked out for one another, and all of our strengths came out And there was a woman who took charge on all of the PPP information for small businesses. She was basically in that community 24 hours a day answering questions about how small businesses could apply for PPP, what the updates were for the banks, you know, keeping track of who was getting approved. And I mean, she just helped so much in that. Other women started rallying together and creating nonprofits to support the restaurant industry by having a centralized place for takeout orders. And I mean, they just, if you've ever wanted to see work get done, put a group of leading ladies on it, because
yeah,
they are movers and shakers, and they really take every bump and turn it into an opportunity to do better. It was a very innovative community that really, really looked out for one another and got creative on how to support one another.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so you talk about this value about being unapologetically authentic. Mm-hmm. What would you say is something that holds people back from stepping into just being unapologetically authentic themselves?
Well, I think we get so many messages from such an early age of, you know, be a good girl, be a good boy, you know, smile, look nice, be polite. And we live in this idea that our job is to make others around us comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even to the detriment of our own comfort. And I think I finally just got to the point where I was like, wait a minute, your comfort's not more valuable than my comfort. And we need to be able to be comfortable with each other and to be accepting of one another. And to be quite honest, I don't want to be around people who don't accept me or who are uncomfortable with who I really am and how I'm really showing up in life. I was always told I was too pretty or too quiet or too this or too that, too sensitive, too forward. And my question is, for who?
Because right.
This is just me. And, you know, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I know that I do have a very strong personality, and my face does not have an inside voice.
It's one of the things I love about you. Yeah.
You know, it's, I've been told that I'm too intimidating or things like that. And I'm like, this is just who I am. And so my goal in life has been to surround myself with people who not only tolerate who I am, but celebrate who I am, and where I can do that back. You know, yeah. I truly celebrate all the different people that are in my life. And I surround myself with people that are different than me. And I think that that's the best way to grow and to learn. And if we are trying to get people to fit into this idea of who we want them to be, that's not growth. That's just an illusion of control.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And we're talking just really less than a week after this really controversial op-ed in the Wall Street Journal about Dr. Jill Biden, mm-hmm. and the recommendation about not using doctor in her name because she's not
what
a medical
the
doctor.
Dang heck?
Seriously, right? Seriously.
Freaking A, like put that thing up on a billboard. You worked hard
for that. Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's and like you, I know people who have their educational doctorate, and the amount of work that they've had to go through, that's a celebration, that's a recognition, that's an accomplishment. That's also about not playing small.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the biggest things that I do in my Facebook group is I encourage people to toot their own horn. From such a young age, we're taught not to be proud, not to be boastful, or you know, to celebrate ourselves, our success, you know. And I'm not saying shout from the rooftops or pretend that you're better than anybody else. But I think that there is a time and a place to celebrate who you are and all that you've accomplished, because life is hard. And I often invite the members of my group to celebrate whatever wins, big or small, throughout the week. I want to hear the wins, and I want them to know that their wins are valuable and worth sharing and worth celebrating.
Yeah, well said. And in a year like we've had in 2020, having an opportunity to celebrate and support each other is something we all could use a little bit of right now.
Right.
So, Alison, as we start wrapping up here, what would you suggest as we kind of round out 2020 here, heading into 21, what advice or recommendation would you give for someone to help them show up more energetically in their lives or careers?
Be kind. That's the best I got today. Be kind. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. You know, it's, I think that energy is contagious and a smile goes a long way. Although we're masked right now, smile with your eyes, friends.
You take Tyra's advice. Yes.
But, you know, be kind to yourself, listen to your mind chatter. And if you're tearing yourself down in your mind, that's not serving you. Remind yourself that you've survived every bad day up to this point, that you have value, you are worthy, you are enough, and you deserve to take up space. So be kind to yourself and allow yourself to remember that and to show up with that intention to take up space and invite others to do the same.
Well said. Well said. I think that's a great way to end this conversation with. But before we do, I want you to take a moment and just invite people to connect with you and find you. So how can they go about doing that?
So probably the best way to connect with me is in the Leading Ladies with Alison Loftus Facebook group. Like I said, there's about 5,400 members there now. You can also find me on Instagram with the handle Leading_lady_coach. And those are probably the easy. I'm really social. I love social media. I love connecting. So if you connect with me there, you're stuck with me forever. But
Well, and I'll make sure they're all in the show notes as well as your website too. But just to piggyback on things, your stories on Instagram are engaging. I love kind of checking in and following. But here's the other thing for everybody listening. You also need to follow Alison's dog, right? So it's at Millie the English Setter on Instagram. And you need to follow her as well. So it's like a 2-for-1 deal. Okay. So you follow.
People are popular than me. So, you know, I started that Instagram account when COVID hit because I needed something positive. And I wanted my feed to be like filled with dogs. You know, I'm such a dog person. And she, her engagement is like at 70%. I'm lucky if I get like 13% of my followers to engage. She is so popular. She's hilarious. So yes, follow her. I feel like she needs to become a coach, like the positive pup or something. I don't know.
But she doesn't have a Twitter handle, right?
Come on, John. She lacks opposable thumbs.
I thought maybe one of your kids might be able to kind of help with the Twitter feed and get that going. So my cheeks hurt. I've been laughing so hard. Thank you so
much. You are so much fun.
Same here. I have enjoyed this conversation. I hope everybody listening has too. Definitely make sure to join Alison's Facebook group. It's Leading Ladies with Alison Loftus.
Yes.
All right. Okay. We'll have all that in the show notes and then follow her on Instagram as well. Alison, best wishes. Thank you so much for spending some time with me and my listeners today, and happy holidays to you and your family, and a safe and let's hope a much better 2021.
You too, John. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you liked what you heard, please do me a favor and kindly rate and review wherever you listen to this podcast and share it with someone whom you think would benefit from today's content. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at John Narrell Coaching and connect with me on LinkedIn at John Narrell and follow me on Twitter at John_Narrell. Check out my website at johnnarrell.com for more information related to leadership and career topics. And you can also read my book, Show Up, 6 Strategies to Lead a More Energetic and Impactful Career. And if you're interested in learning more about what one-on-one coaching is with me, or to join my Show Up Challenge, you can email me at john@johnnarrell.com or message me on social. I look forward to talking to you. And remember, how we show up matters. Make it a great day.